1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're getting so close to finishing out this book. Been a wonderful, wonderful study. And it's just a good book. So many lessons. We have covered everything from church discipline to church members who were out of control sinning, and just a lot of different subjects. And now we get down to the very end. And this, in the very end, what we're going to cover today, it's basically church community. How to be a church member. What do you want as a church member? And the expectations of what it means to be a church member. You know, I ask you a question. Very few messages will you hear like this concerning on what's expected of a church member. But there are expectations of a church member, right? It's not just about putting your name on the church roll, letting the church serve you. It's so much deeper than that. You have responsibilities as a church member. And so today we're going to explore a few of those responsibilities. Would you stand with me as we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must also do. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. When I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I'm passing through Macedonia, and it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord, as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow before you, praying for your guidance as we examine your word. Speak to us, Lord, individually and as a church. Provide, Lord, what's needed in every heart today. Lord, we love you, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. As I said, today we're talking about church communities and church responsibility kind of a thing. You know, the move today is not even to have a church role, and so you don't actually join churches and you just show up. And yeah, I'll be honest with you. I know church roles are not kept in the Bible. I know. But there is a lack of commitment there also. When you don't commit to something, then you won't last very long, right? As a church member. And so today we're going to talk about a few things that is expected of church members. And first thing that's expected is to help the saints who are struggling. That's what Paul was talking about when he said concerning the collection of the saints. Paul was receiving not only from the church at Corinth, but from several other churches. Galatia's, those churches were included also. He was receiving an offering to help the poor saints of the church in Jerusalem. Now, what had happened, we don't know every detail of the church at Jerusalem, but we do know the church at Jerusalem had fallen on hard times because of a famine. Jerusalem was also a highly populated place, and it was a low economic place. The idea for Jerusalem, or kind of the theme of that city, was religion. There wasn't a lot of economics in Jerusalem. And so when famine hit, the church at Jerusalem was going through a very difficult time. So Paul is instructing them that they are to lay aside a collection for the saints. And I want you to notice in the text that we read, he didn't say, now concerning the collection for the poor. He said concerning the collection for the saints. He was very deliberate there in his wording. And the first question that comes to mind is why? Why didn't he just say the poor? Well, it's very different. The giving to the poor is very different than providing for the saints. Okay? The difference is you can give to the poor and forget them. Right? I mean, there are always the poor around us. We're surrounded by the poor, and I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't give to the poor. But everywhere you look, there are opportunities to give to the poor. But the idea behind giving or providing for the saints, it carries an idea of responsibility. You know, we are responsible for one another at Victory. Come on, Alice, let's have an amen for every time. Okay? We're responsible for one another. If you're going through a hard time, I'm responsible to help you through that hard time. Whether it be financially or maybe you need encouragement, whatever the case may be. But it's not just me. We're all responsible for one another. And that's the idea with supporting the saints. That's the idea of church membership. You know, we see with the saints, the idea that goes along with the gift is of course responsibility. Why is there such a responsibility? Because friends, we are family. We are not just a group of people gathering together for a purpose. We are in the family of God. And when you deal with family, that is a completely higher level than just supporting the poor. That's why we're ready, and that's why Paul said on the first day of the week, lay something aside, storing up as you prosper. They were to be very intentional in this offering and what it was for, the support of the brethren. They were supposed to even be so intentional that they were budgeting a portion of their income to help these brethren. You know, I got to thinking about that. I thought, you know, what a good idea. And this is pastor confession time. Listen, I want to help people, and I will help. And if I know of a need, I will help. But one thing I don't do, or I haven't done, that I'm going to start doing, is I'm going to set aside a portion of what God prospers me for helping the brethren. That I set this aside, and okay, this is for helping. And as I said, understand, it's not that I've intentionally been selfish, but listen, when you set something aside, then you'll intentionally be looking for an opportunity to use that something, right? Paul said, as the Lord prospers you, you be intentional and set this aside for the support of the saints at Jerusalem. And you know, it makes perfect sense because we plan everything. We plan for retirement. We plan for vacation. We plan for big purchases. And the more I thought about it, the more I said, Doug, why don't you plan to intentionally set aside money and say, okay, this is for helping the brethren, and that's all it can be used for. I can't touch it. Then I'd be more intentional in looking for those that need help. And that's the idea here, right? So I want to tell you something. Sometimes we all need help in some form or another, right? And I'll go back to the first of this year and just praise you. But you know, the surgery that I had was a pretty big surgery. I said, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. Well, it was a bigger deal than I thought it was going to be. I'll just be honest with you. But the hospital bill was enormous. I have a high deductible on insurance. And the church received a love offering for me that made me not worry about anything financial. All I had to worry about was getting better. And I can't say thank you enough. Thank you. Every one of you. Because it was such a blessing to us. And it wasn't just that it was financial help. It was, they care. they really do care. And they want to take care of their pastor. They want to take care of and provide for the needs. But you know, I know it's not just me you want to take care of. We want to take care of one another. And so, you know, when I thought about this, I thought, wow, I need to take this opportunity to pat you on the back and say, hey, thank you very much. I'm privileged. I'm honored. I'm blessed to be your pastor. But it also reminded me of my responsibility to be more intentional in looking for an opportunity to help my brothers and sisters, because I am responsible for the well-being of my brothers and sisters, right? Second thing we do as church members, we invest in the lives of the saints, okay? Paul, he said in the text, he says, I don't want to see you right now. He says, I'm going through Macedonia, but I'm not going to come to you right now. Because I don't want to see you right now, because I want to spend time with you. I like how he said that. I don't want to just pass by. Paul didn't want to just stop off at Corinth and say, hi guys, where's the offering, and leave. Paul wanted to spend time with the church at Corinth and share with them and teach them and invest in their lives and share that fellowship. Well, I thought about that. Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 come to mind. You see, Paul was this way with all churches. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, it says, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by mutual faith, both of you and me. You see, Paul had a desire, and it wasn't just to go visit and talk to. His desire was to share fellowship with. Now, the idea of fellowship is a partnership. Here's the partnership that he was talking about in Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. He said, I want to impart to you some spiritual gift. When Paul was going to visit churches, he was going to look for an opportunity to contribute to the spiritual well-being of the brethren. That is the first responsibility in this section that I want to talk to you as a church member about. And it's that you care, that you take time to care and help and contribute to the spiritual well-being of your church family. How do you do that? Well, it's quite easy, as a matter of fact. You do it by what you say. You do it by what you do. You do it by how you act. You see, you can either be a joy to be around, or you can be a pain in the neck. We can all be a pain in the neck, can't we? But there are some people you just, when they walk away from you, you say, Lord, thank you that you brought them to me today. They're encouraging. They're strengthening. You just know they have a heart for you. Paul was that kind of individual. He was always looking to contribute to the spiritual well-being of the brethren. But it didn't stop there. He didn't only want to impart or to give. He wanted to get. What was he going to get? That I may be encouraged with you. I want to tell you something. I'll never forget COVID. Most miserable time in my whole ministry ever, without comparison, when we didn't meet for a while. And the reason it was so miserable is because I could not be around you. There is something about meeting together as a church. I think it's because when we meet together, we're in the presence of the Lord. And I will stand before you today, and if the question ever comes up again, the answer is no. We will not ever, never, never close these doors again. Okay, not going to do it again, because it hurt. It hurt the church. It hurt me as a pastor. Brother Doug, why are you so bullheaded about that? Because we need one another. We come together. I am encouraged. I am blessed. I am picked up because I've been with God's people. And listen, I'm not a singer. But I love to worship with God's people. I sing when Brother Dale leads. I can be a singer then, right? Maybe I'm not a soloist, but I'm not a soloist, but I'm a singer. You know, it's such a blessing. And that's what Paul was talking about. He loved being in the presence of his church family and sharing his life and contributing as a fellow believer. I say his church family. He was going from church to church, but he started all these churches. So, you know, he was a part of them. And that's what church membership is. It's a place where you invest and you share your life with fellow believers. And there is nothing in this world that compares to that experience. It doesn't matter how old you are, what you do, you need to be a part of a New Testament church. Period. Right? Third thing church members do is we encourage the saints who are serving. Look at verse 11 with me again, if you would. It says, Paul is speaking. He says, therefore, let no one... verse 10. And he said, and if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace. Timothy's coming. That's what Paul's saying. Timothy's going to come through. And when he comes through, let him come through and be without fear. Verse 11, he said, let no one despise him. That word despise is a very strong word. The idea is look down on, right? Have you ever looked down on somebody? Man, it makes that individual feel about that big. Why would Paul say such a thing to the church at Corinth? Well, number one, he knew the church at Corinth, right? And in the church in Corinth, that was the place where the biggest and the brightest upcomers went. And when you were in Corinth, credentials and status were everything. Degrees mattered. Occupation mattered. People would ask you, what's your job? Not because they were interested in what your job was. They'd ask you, what's your job? To consider how important you may be. Paul, he was different in that he had the modern day equivalency of, I don't know, 3 or 4 PhDs. He had been to the schools, you know. He was well educated and he had success. Everywhere he went, he established a church. More than 14 churches were established by the Apostle Paul. So he had this reputation, you know, just quite frankly, Paul was the man. He was the man in church circles of that day. Timothy, on the other hand, was not the man. Timothy had no schooling. He had no accomplishments. He had no credentials, no charisma. His mother was a Jew and his father was a Gentile, so he was a half-breed. And everything about Timothy said, go ahead, pick on me. I'm a nobody. And they would have at Corinth, considering how they emphasized that sort of thing. And Paul, before it happens, he says, you take care of this young man because he does the work of the Lord just like I do. I appreciate the way this church treats their pastor. You are good to me and you have blessed me. And you have blessed our church staff. But let me explain and express to you. I'm not comparing myself to Paul because I'm nowhere near the man Paul was. But in this church, I'm kind of like the Paul of the church staff. I want to tell you I love those guys. And I want those guys, every one of them, to be encouraged and well cared for. Why? Because I'm responsible for them. I feel the same way about Paul. And I don't say that because anybody's attacked anyone. I don't. But if the idea ever comes up that you're about to, you understand you won't attack a staff member. You'll attack this pastor and a staff member. Because I take it personally. No, they're not perfect. As a matter of fact, they're a long way from it. You guys can say amen. But I'll tell you what, I think we have the best church staff around. I'm very blessed to work with these men. And so I want to encourage you to encourage them. I've been so blessed by the increase in college students this year. My goodness, I love to see our college students. Pray for Kelly. Pray for Kelly. I'm so blessed to have Michael and Ken and Josh. And God is blessing everywhere we look. And I appreciate every one of them. And let me encourage you, you do the same. Okay? You be that point of encouragement. You say, yes, Brother Doug, but they don't. Yes, I know they don't. Okay? But God's growing them. Just like He's growing all of us. And I'll give you some inside information. You're not a church member to be a critic. You're a church member to be a Barnabas, the son of encouragement. I mean, it doesn't matter who's here. We can all criticize. As a matter of fact, it always amazed me, the people, the people who are not serving are usually the best critics or the biggest critics. And I've heard them say, well, I've been in church all my life. I know how this is supposed to go. I've been in church all my life. You can be in a zoo all your life, but it don't make you a monkey. Okay? You can be in church all your life. You don't know what it's like to be a pastor. You don't know what it's like to be associate pastor, a college pastor, seniors pastor. You don't know what it's like. So be very understanding. Be very encouraging. And if you see where maybe they're not, no, let me rephrase, maybe we're not up to a level that we should be as a church staff, encourage them. Get behind them, encourage them. And help them. Don't be the critic. Don't be the critic. Then number four. Number four. Understand. Church family, we're understanding toward the saints that differ. I love Paul's final, and it's very short here in verse 12. He says, now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren. But he was quite unwilling. Now, there are two strong words used here. Paul didn't say, I suggested possibly to Apollos that if he gets time, he might ease over and give y'all a visit. That's not what Paul said. He says he strongly urged. That means Paul told Apollos, he said, listen, Apollos, you need to get yourself over to Corinth right now without delay. And Apollos' response was, he was quite unwilling to come. That's a strong response. Paul gave him a strong request. Apollos said, ain't no way. I'm not going. I know that's bad English. I'm sorry, but that Paul said, you need to get there now. Apollos said, uh-uh. No way. Not going. Now, it's at this point that, you know, we just be very quick to judge. Well, Apollos thinks he's too good to go to the folks of Corinth. Well, what does Apollos think he's doing? What's his problem? He's awful cranky. He's never refused to go before. Who does he think he is? But see, there's some things that we don't know. We don't know what Apollos was doing. He might have been serving the Lord where he was and just be very busy and very much needed right where he was. He might have had a family emergency come up. Somebody might have been sick that he couldn't leave right now. We don't know. My goodness, he might have just had a bad day and didn't want anybody to tell him what he should do. We don't know. But here's what we do know. Since we don't know all the details, we don't need to be quick to judge Apollos. Paul didn't. And see, I bring that down because to our level. Because when somebody does something you think they shouldn't, or when they're not doing something that you think they should, it's easy to say, well, what is their problem? What is their problem? What is the matter with them? Who do they think they are? But you don't have all the details. You know? Have you ever come in and left, and somebody didn't talk to you, and you spoke, hey, how are you today? And they just walked by. What's their problem? You don't have all the details. Did somebody smart off to you? How are you today? What's it to you? You don't have the background, is the point. Right? Confession time. Miss Carolyn Cantwell. She's not here. I can talk about her. She may be here in hiding. Anyway, I'm going to talk about her. Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, I was in a meeting. I walked in the meeting, and it was one of those days. The days I currently recovering from back surgery, I have good days and bad days. It was a bad day. I walked in. Miss Carolyn was sitting across the table. I sat down, and I'm sure I probably groaned. And Miss Carolyn looked at me and said, you're hurting, aren't you? I said, no, I'm fine. Just like that. And I'd been hurting all day, and I was tired, and it didn't register the way it come out. I didn't mean to be snippy. I didn't mean to smart off. I didn't mean to sound short. But what I did have to go do was, a couple hours later, I realized that probably didn't sound right. So I went back and I apologized to Miss Carolyn. But the point being this, she was just wanting to show sympathy and caring for me. And at that moment, I wasn't having it. But she very graciously didn't say anything. And when I apologized to her, she was, oh, that's fine, I understand. See, that's what we all need to remember. When somebody's not what you think they should be, back up and consider, you don't know the background. You don't know the day they've had. You don't know how they feel. You don't know the family crisis they're dealing with. You do not know anything except in that moment of time that they didn't quite act like you think they should have acted. Be understanding. Back up and say, hey, they didn't speak to me, but I'm going to love them anyway. Hey, they sounded like a smart aleck, but I'm going to sound like a loving saint in my response. Hey, they didn't do what I think they should, but that's okay. That's between them and the Lord. I'm going to be an encouragement. Because you see, that's what church members do. Everybody has a bad day. Everybody has a bad day. Everybody opens their mouth when they should keep it closed. Yeah. And sometimes people do things that we think they shouldn't do. But maybe you just don't know the background. Maybe instead of judging them and condemning them, we just need to pray for them that God will get them through that day and help them through this rough patch that they're going through. Because see, here's the thing. We're not just a group of people that meet here on Sunday. We're church family. I'm responsible for you, and you're responsible for me. Right? And there's got to be something that holds us together. And there is something. Better yet, someone that pulls it all together. Paul, in the opening of this book, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, he writes to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. You know what holds this church together is not the pastor. It's not church members. It is the Jesus that we serve. That's what makes this church a church. Now today, you may be here. And perhaps the Lord's been dealing with you to become a member of Victory, and you've been weighing it out. And let me encourage you first. Number one, is it where God wants you to be? If it is, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Get with it. Let's go. Come join us and we'll serve together and we'll encourage one another together. And number two, you may be here today and you don't understand the Jesus part of this. You see, Jesus Christ gave His life as the sacrifice for your sins and for mine. Right? He did that. And you've heard Jesus died. He was crucified. He did that because you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. That's you. That's me. That's everybody in this service and everybody outside this service. We all have a sin problem. And sin had to be paid for. That's what Jesus did when He gave His life in sacrifice for you and I. And now today He's brought you here to give you an opportunity to have a personal relationship with Him. Brother Doug, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked. It's very simple. You call upon the name of the Lord. You ask Jesus to save you. Is that all there is? Absolutely. You see, we're saved by grace through faith. There's nothing you can do. You will never be good enough to go to heaven. But the glorious part is the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness and makes us good enough to go to heaven through Him. Not through us. Are you a child of God? If not, this invitation's for you. And maybe the Lord's dealing with you on some other matter besides church membership or salvation. Maybe there's something else. The staff's going to be up here in just a moment. Be willing to pray with you. Whatever your need is, I would just invite you to respond as God leads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise You for the day. Thank You for the privilege of looking into Your Word. Thank You for the privilege, Lord, of meeting together as a church family. And I thank You, Lord, for the privilege of being the pastor of Victory Baptist Church. Father, I pray that we'll all keep in mind as church members to have loving hearts for one another, to be understanding, to be helpful in the growth, the spiritual growth, and to be helpful in any need that we as a church have. And Father, I pray that Your will be done in this service. Lord, this is Your invitation. I pray that no one responds that's not supposed to, but I pray also that if you're dealing with individuals, that they will respond today. We give You all the glory and praise in Jesus' name.